Let's bring in Sportsnet's Triple Threat. It is Ian McIntyre. You find him on radio, you watch him on television, and you read his work at sportsnet.ca. What's up, iMac?
Well, Triple Threat has new meaning in this unprecedented week for the NHL. The Triple Threats would be expansion draft, entry draft, and free agency, all piling one on top of the other. Like a great big party.
All us hockey guys want this to happen every year. Can you do this in 1 week every single year so that we can just be over and done with it?
I don't know if I could survive it, but it's nice that it's compact. I have to admit, because 4 years ago, everything was so different with Vegas, right? And just how the expansion draft was carried out, the process between the teams and the club, everything is different now. I was a little surprised at the intensity and excitement of this expansion deadline last week. You know, the Saturday, that was like a trade deadline plus, because teams had this pressure point to make moves, but it's not, you know, a normal trade deadline, there's a lot of moves and then it's done. And then everything is set until the end of the season. Well, this was like a trade deadline. It was just like the first course of this grand meal, because there's going to be, I don't know if there'll be deals tonight. I guess there'll be probably a couple with Seattle, but there will certainly be deals tomorrow within the league, because what's happened here is that 4 years ago, all the teams were talking to the Vegas Golden Knights. This time around, all the teams were talking to each other. And we saw that reflected in the deals last week. But we're going to see it reflected in further deals, because it's forced teams to take a look at where they are, what they have, and who's available. And this trading spree, I think, is going to pick up tomorrow and continue on into free agency.
Yeah, and not to overstate things for that trading, I'm skeptical about tonight being this big show, but I actually think tomorrow could be a really interesting day in the National Hockey League, where a lot of teams had discussions, and I know the Canucks did, about possibilities before the trade freeze that they could explore once the trade freeze lifts again and they get a clearer picture on what happened in the expansion draft. So I certainly think some things could definitely happen. And as far as what the Canucks do with, you know, a guy like Nate Schmidt and Braden Holtby, I think those guys are going to be really interesting to watch here the next couple of days. And maybe not so much just moving them for nothing, but maybe they get creative and bring a couple players back who they feel help them if they move those guys.
Well, I think, and it's impossible for any of us to know exactly what was in Ron Francis's head through all this, unless he wants to share it with us. But I think a part of the reason that Braden Holtby isn't now part of the Seattle Kraken is because the Canucks weren't willing to add a sweetener. And the reason they weren't willing to add a sweetener is because they have discovered that there is actually a market for Braden Holtby if they want to explore it. They feel like there's other teams they might be able to make a better deal with for Holtby than they would have been able to make a deal with Seattle. So I think that's one example, and I, you know, Nate Schmidt, Jim Benning told me last week that there is no Nate Schmidt situation, that he hasn't asked to be traded, and I guess, you know, nobody has reported that he has wanted to be traded, but I think it's pretty solid that both sides are seeing if there's an exit here that will suit both sides. And I think the Canucks probably have done a lot of legwork on finding and determining that market, because it's one thing, you know, they have to create cap space. Cap flexibility is the basis for all the improvements that Benning and the staff want to make to the team. They have to create some room. Well, we've seen over the last couple of years how hard it is when you're trying to create room by, say, moving Louis Erickson, or more recently, if you're trying to get somebody interested in taking the contract of Antoine Roussel. But if you can find a trade partner and make a legit hockey deal for a guy like Nate Schmidt, who's making $6 million, well, you know, it serves two purposes. Number one, you're going to make a hockey deal, but you're also creating that flexibility for you to do some other things.
And we've, you know, talked about, you mentioned in your tweet earlier as well, that the Canucks didn't want to retain that salary in the Braden Holtby deal. But when we talk about value and who can actually bring something back of substance without a sweetener, really it's only Nate Schmidt on this roster that may be available, right? Because we look at the other options, IMAC, whether it's a Jay Beagle, Roussel, go down the list, you're going to take a loss on that deal. So really, is Nate Schmidt their only, you know, valuable piece that they maybe consider trading here?
I say Nate Schmidt, and I agree with you, Randy. Nate Schmidt is the only piece they have where, if they do trade him, you're immediately going to look at who's coming to the team now, who's going to play for them next season based on that deal. But there is value still in getting out from those other contracts, even though, as you point out, a trade would be at a loss. You're going to have to give up something or retain salary or both to get out of Jay Beagle or to get out of Antoine Roussel. But it's what you can then do with that little bit more flexibility that you've created that is the real payoff on deals like that. So even though you're right, they don't have a whole lot of expendable assets where you can say you get a player back or maybe you get your middle six winger with this. But if you can create cap space, we're seeing today again a reminder in the flat cap with what Seattle has done, just how incredibly vital cap space is, how valuable cap space is. If the Canucks can, you know, carve out a couple of million here, a couple of million there, and maybe they'll, you know, get one, a couple of those millions with a Jake Virtanen buyout, which I wouldn't be surprised at all if that occurs before the 28th, that all adds up. That all gives you flexibility. Currency, figuratively and literally, it gives you currency, because with the flat cap, there's players available. There are going to be players available, whether it's this week, whether it's start of free agency, whether it's before next season, as we saw a bunch of guys, you know, looking for landing spots shortly before last season. To have that money, though, is the start of everything. The Canucks have to continue to work to create some flexibility.
Ian McIntyre, our guest, and we saw one of the potential targets for the Canucks, Adam Larson. Looks like he's going to be ending up with the Seattle Kraken. Nate Schmidt still very much up in the air, as we've discussed here, but is that the spot they need to figure out? Is that right shot D-man as the week progresses here, IMAC?
Well, a lot depends, obviously, on what they do with Schmidt. And it's not out of the question that Schmidt is back. In fact, it shouldn't really surprise anyone if it turns out, after all this exploration at what might be available and what other teams might be willing to pay, shouldn't surprise anyone if Nate Schmidt is back on the team. And if Schmidt is back on the team, you've got Schmidt and Myers on the right side. I don't think it's a crisis to try to find the third guy. And again, we saw last year Travis Hamonic was still looking for a team. They signed him a bargain contract. It worked out to be a good deal for them. They'd like to do another with Travis Hamonic, but it hasn't happened, so maybe it won't. But when you're looking for one guy at the bottom of your defense, that's not such a daunting task. That doesn't really make you too uncomfortable during the offseason if you have that need. But it's if you lose Alex Edler and you make a Nate Schmidt trade, and maybe it isn't a defenseman coming back. Maybe the payoff is that cap flexibility. Maybe you get a forward back or a depth player. Once you're looking at two or three openings on a six-man blue line, then it starts to get a little bit uncomfortable. But there is a lot of time between now and the start of next season, but it is shaping up, especially now that they've got Jason Dickinson, because I've said, and a lot of people knew, that the third line center spot was their biggest need. Because if you're going to build a third line, you have to start with the foundation, which is usually the center. So now they have that. Now that they do have that, I think defense is going to be maybe the area that needs the most work, but they're still looking to find a top six winger. They're still essentially looking for the Tyler Toffoli replacement.
You're right. They are still looking for that forward. And as far as Nate Schmidt goes, you're right. I mean, there's a real possibility he does come back. It's not a broken relationship. It's one of those situations that is being explored. But if you're trading him, you also have to have a good idea of who's coming in to replace him. Adam Larson being picked up by the Kraken, I think, was a guy that would have intrigued the Canucks on the open market, but I don't think they were ever assuming he would actually get there because of the caliber of player he is and the demand that there is from him. Edmonton now with Seattle signing him. But I do think that another forward is probably the easiest thing to do if you're looking to make a move right now. There are a lot of forwards around. So if you're looking to move Holtby, what if you're willing to take on salary moving Holtby? Like, could you get a forward back that maybe is getting paid a bit too much, but perhaps comes in and gives you something for that same amount of money?
Well, I think it, for the same amount of money, it's hard to find a guy who's going to play in your top six unless you're getting, you know, a younger player who's maybe not at his peak contract yet. But, you know, if to your point about what would be hard to acquire, it seems there's all kinds of guys available if you have money. There's all kinds of forwards. If you can spend $6 or $8 million on somebody, there's all kinds of guys available. The question is, one, do you have that money to spend, and how prudent is it to do so? And I would say myself, with some of the guys who are available, maybe it's a less risky move to go out and get somebody, one of those, who is on a defined contract. And let's just say Tarasenko, just as an example. So he's got 2 years left. I think it's at $7.5 million. Tell me if I'm wrong. But so you make a deal, you bring him on. It doesn't cost you much because St. Louis is just basically trying to get rid of him and the salary. And who knows, maybe the Blues retain some salary. But in any case, your risk is only for the next couple of years. But obviously you have to have that money to spend in the first place. To me, the far bigger risk are the teams that are entertaining, you know, the idea of 7 and 8 year contracts for the Alex Kerfoots of the world. That's fraught, as we've seen in Vancouver. That's fraught with way more risk than going out and getting a guy who's, yeah, he's a big ticket, but there's a year or two left. And if it works out, great. Maybe you sign another deal after that. And if it doesn't work out, well, at least you're not encumbered for years to come like they have been on Louis Erickson. But again, Sat and guys, it's all about money. Like, none of this, nothing's going to happen unless the Canucks create a little more flexibility.
You're listening to The People Show. We're joined by Sportsnet's triple threat, Ian McIntyre. So, Ian, looking ahead to tomorrow, this time tomorrow we'll be talking about Jim Benning standing pat in the lead-up and after the freeze, or is this a long game? Is this going to be a couple of weeks where Jim Benning will try to be aggressive?
Well, I think it's a long game for Benning. I think it's a long game for a lot of GMs. It's all about, you know, jockeying to get ready, to get in line and in compliance for next season. So there is a ways to go in there. But as I said at the top, there seems to be a series of pressure points right now. And we saw with the expansion deadline that there were, you know, it wasn't exactly like a trade deadline, but there were a bunch of trades. I think we are going to see a bunch of trades tomorrow. I think we will see more trades continuing up until free agency. Then there'll be, you know, the free agency free-for-all and whatever that looks like. And then it'll go quiet, but it's not going to go deadly quiet all the way to the start of next season. There will continue to be deals. So I don't think, you know, Benning has to do everything he needs to do in the next week. I'm not sure that's even possible, but I would be surprised, say, if a week from now, when free agency is opening, that the Canucks haven't made at least one or two more moves.
IMAC, we appreciate the time as always. Thank you. We'll talk soon.
I will look forward to that. By the way, I saw just before I came on, Pavel Buchnevich, apparently available from the Rangers.
It's an interesting name. He's a pretty good player.
Top six winger from Russia.
You didn't fall for the Bo Horvat for Buchnevich Twitter trade?
I did not.
Okay, good.
Yeah, they're not trading Bo Horvat.
Yeah. Okay.
So what you're saying is they're trading the 9th overall pick for Pavel Buchnevich. Thanks, Ian.
See you guys.
There's Ian McIntyre.